Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading for today is from Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope by now you know my name. My name is Naveen Nishal, basically from India, and I'm so glad to hear from Pastor Bill that he has visited India, and our congregation, Holy Cross, has been a great blessing in terms of supporting the mission work in India, and thank you for all that you've been doing, and I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to come and share about his mission. It's not my missions or Lutheran Church missions, but it is his mission that we are going to be hearing about today. Always I start with a humor. This kind is kind of a little bigger one, but I want you to focus and get the laughter out of it, you know. With great expression, you know, one of the preachers said, "If I had all the beer in the world, I would take it and throw it in the river." Then the congregation nodded their approval. With a great emphasis, he added, "And if I had all the wine in the world, I would take it and throw it into the river too." Then people clapped and were saying, "Amen." Then he concluded, "If I had all the whiskey in the world, I would take it and throw it into the river." And he sat down. The song leader then stood up quietly, quite cautiously, and announced, "For our closing song, let us sing hymn number 365, 'Shall We Gather at the River?'" So it's a cold season. It's good to keep us warm. Sorry about it. So we are in the second week of Advent and about the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we all know the very reason why God sent his Son into this world. You know, that's about Advent. And again, talking about today, I've chosen a few words from John chapter 17, verse 18. He says, Jesus said, "In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world." So Jesus obeyed God's mission. God sent Jesus to save the world. That was his mission. And again, Jesus here tells us, you know, after coming into the world, and he's reminding us over and over again, every Advent season, throughout the seasons of the church, that we are as God sent him, that he sends us into the world. So again, the big question, we have done many Bible studies. We know about the mission. We are a mission-minded church. And again, if I ask you the question, what is mission? You know, God, for that answer, you might have many, many answers. You know, you have read about many books about mission, many philosophers talking about mission, many missionaries giving their experience about the mission. But to simplify, so what is mission? It's like this: God is at work in the world and he wants you to join him. That's simple as that. God is at work in the world and he wants you and me to join him. Very simple. So this assignment for you and me is called his missions. Is it clear? Very clear, very crystal clear, so simple. So what's the difference between your ministry and your mission? Most of the time, we always get confused with the ministry and the mission, right? So I want to clarify that also to all of us, you know, including me. You know, your mission is your service to believers in the body of Christ. Your mission, ministry is your service to believer in the body of Christ. While your mission is your service to unbelievers in the world. Your service to unbelievers in the world. That was an amazing enactment of the mission that we saw in the kids' sermon. You know, going and telling someone who do not know about Jesus, you know, apart from their family and apart from our church. That's an amazing thing. So I want you to all understand that God created you for both. Your life and mission in both shared and specific. So it's both. We cannot ignore any of those two things. He has created us for both of it. And it sees a responsibility you share with every other Christian. The other part is an assignment that is unique to you and me, unique to you. So he's calling us to fulfill in that uniqueness of in his mission. So here, Jesus, talking about Jesus, it's all about Jesus. Mission is all about Jesus, you know. Talking about Jesus, we come to know that Jesus clearly understood his life and mission on earth. So when he came, he was sent. He totally understood about his job, about his mission. And at the age of 12, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Even at that age, he was very cautious about the call that God has sent him into this world. He was very cautious about his... And after 20 years later, dying on the cross, Jesus said, you know, it is finished. So he started and he accomplished in a very perfect way as possible. So Jesus completed the mission the Father gave him to do. So he accomplished his mission. So that is very important. So now the mission that Jesus had while he was on the earth, friends, is now our mission. So it is our mission. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he has now assigned us to you and me. So Jesus' mission of, it becomes our mission. So what he did in the physical body, we are to continue as a spiritual body. We are the church. We are the physical body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's expecting you and me to involve in the mission that he started 2,000 years ago. So what is that mission? That is simple as this. Introducing people to God. Introducing people to God. So what I'm doing here at the Lutheran Student Center, we have an amazing ministry going on at the Lutheran Student Center. So Lutheran Student Center always was kind of a misunderstood, thinking that it was part and parcel of a Grace Lutheran Church since they're just a mile away from that Lutheran Center. It is their responsibility. It is their mission. No. Our Texas district has given this amazing, wonderful sharing of the gospel opportunity with the international students to all of our churches to come together and to share the gospel among this multi-ethnic audience, the students who are coming from different parts of the world. So we are to reach out into this people's life. And, you know, please do come to my Bible study after the service. I have amazing slides that I can show it to you. I have brought the PowerPoint presentation. So there we come to know that we are getting more than students from 14 different nations right now, including our local students from different Lutheran churches, students who are coming and studying in the university. So majority of them are from India and Bangladesh and Pakistan, but again we are counted the different nationalities, and these people are typically from a different religious background. Talking about Hinduism, and I will be talking later in my sermon that they believe in 330 million god and goddesses, and these students are here amidst us, and people from Islamic countries. They're also amidst us. So we have an opportunity as a congregation to come and participate in God's mission. So God has an intention of bringing these people into our midst. You know, 20 to 30 years ago, you know, our neighborhood looks kind of one single culture kind of people. But these days, we see that these multi-ethnic people are all over. They are in our backyard, and they work together with us, and they're everywhere. And why is God doing this? Why is he bringing waves of immigration into our, you know, into our midst? He wants us to reach out to them. So that is the point. So this Lutheran Student Center has become, it's a kind of training center, if you will. If you come to Lutheran Student Center a couple of times as a ministry team from our church, what happens to you is that you will be equipped for the greater ministry. You know, after coming one or two, three times, you will feel that, hey, I have a practice of, serving these students. You know, I'm no more a stranger, and they are no more a stranger to me. And I can do the same thing in my own neighborhood. I can go talk to my friends from a different ethnic background and even invite them, share about Jesus, invite to my own church, you know, so that our church would grow into a multi-ethnic church. So that's the kind of, zeal and passion that the Lord will fill you with this amazing, great ministry. So introducing people to God. The Bible says, Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friend. So we have the task of making other people who are in our midst to make, you know, them into the, bring them into the family of God. So God wants to redeem human beings from Satan and reconcile them into himself. That is the plan why he sent his son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, why he wants us to send into the world so that they may also be saved. That is the point. So we can fulfill the five purpose of what we are created for. So we are created for five purposes, and more than that, if you will. But the first thing is, we are created to love him. Can we all say together, we are created to love him? We are created to love him and to be part of his family and to become like him. And the third one, and to serve him, to become like him and to serve him and to tell others about him. These are all the five things that God expects from you and me as long as we live on this earth, you know? To love him, to be part of his family, to become like him, to serve him, and to tell others about him. So now, once we are his, God uses us to reach others for these five purposes. And again, my friends, the Bible says, we have been sent to speak for Christ. We have been sent to speak for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have been sent. So we got to be very cautious about how we do that task that has been assigned to us. So we are the messengers of God's love and purpose to the world. So there are a number of reasons why you need to take this mission seriously. The first thing is that Jesus commanded us to continue this mission. Go to the people of all nations and make them his disciples. So it was said by Jesus himself. God, who invented this mission, is been telling us to do the same thing. So, and again, the Great Commission was not given to pastors but to every followers of Jesus Christ. We are all equipped. We are all expected to go into the world. These words are not just suggestions to us. Do it or not. It's not an option. It's a command to be considered. That's what God is calling us. So there is no escape from us as Christians to get away from this call. So here, your mission is mandatory and it's not an optional. Jesus said, anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. So that is the very purpose. He has given us a life. He has given us a purpose. And he wants us to see that we accomplish that purpose on this earth. So he's expecting us to do that. You may have become unaware that God holds you responsible for the unbelievers that live around you. That's very important. We all have to feel that way. God will definitely hold me responsible for the unbelievers around me. I have a task of sharing the gospel. I have a task of introducing them to Jesus should be our motive all the time. The Bible says, you must warn them so that they may leave. So if you don't speak out to warn the wicked to stop their evil ways, they will die in their sin, but I will hold you responsible for their death. So we are also a responsible Christian. We have a responsibility of saving them. You know, you might be the only Christian whom they know. So this is the opportunity to tell them about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, my friend, your mission is a great privilege. So God has given this mission as a great privilege, a great privilege to participate in God's mission. Although it is a profound responsibility, it is also an incredible honor to be used by God. How many of you feel that way? It's an incredible honor to, you know, participate in God's mission. So Paul said, God has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come to his favor and to be reconciled to him. So it's a privilege to be participating in God's mission. So your mission involves two great privileges. Working with God and representing him, we get to partner with God in the building of his kingdom. So we become co-laborers with God. So who is your co-worker here? We are proud to say that he is my co-worker. But God is calling you as a co-laborer, co-worker. So you're given that privilege of becoming a co-worker to, at the same time, privilege of building God's kingdom on earth. So we are called to do this amazing thing. So Paul calls us co-laborers and say we are workers together with God. So your mission, again, the third thing is that your mission is the greatest thing you can do for someone. It is the greatest thing that you can do for someone. What do I mean by that? You know, for example, if your neighbor had cancer or AIDS and that you know the cure, it will be criminal for you and me to hide that medicine away from those people. You know, the thing is that, you know, the same thing, even worse, would it be to keep secret the way of forgiveness, purpose, peace, and eternal life away from them. So God wants us to. We are redeemed people. And the gospel is not only meant for us, it is meant for the whole world. He expects us to share that with the people who is in greater need. So we have the greatest news in the world. And sharing it is the greatest kindness to you all. You know, it is. We should also feel it all the time that we have the greatest news in the world. Can we repeat that together? We have the greatest news in the world. So that is what God expects us to share that with him. So your mission has eternal significance. Your mission has eternal significance. Do you believe that? That's very much true, because it will impact the eternal destiny of other people. That's what we are doing at the Lutheran Student Center. They're all from a different religious background, from a Chinese religion, from a Hindu religion, from an Islam religion. Now, you know, on every Monday, we get around 120, sometimes 150 students. Every Monday noon, they come to us because we also provide them physical food, which is a pizza. And also during that time, we also give them a spiritual food, a Bible study. So they don't have to go buy food outside. They don't have to cook food for themselves, you know, where they come. And also we pray with them. We try to cater to their holistic need, and we provide them the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every time they come in. And on Fridays, my friends, we get nearly around 200 people, 200 students, sometimes starting from 150 to 200 students. For the last, we just celebrated Thanksgiving dinner, you know, last month. For that, we had 250 students who had come from different countries, and we wanted to give them the taste of how Thanksgiving is celebrated in America. What's the meaning behind it? Why do we do it? And we make them feel that this place, Lutheran Student Center, we ask them to make this place a home away from home. They don't want to feel that nobody invited us, you know. We're away from home and we don't have the celebration. At the same time, this coming Friday, we are having this Christmas celebration. We want to give them the taste of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's birth. So we are inviting them. So these are all the things that are happening in an amazing way. So this is why we must be urgent about our mission. Jesus said, all of us must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by one who has sent me. So we have no end of time to ponder upon. So this is, the clock is ticking. We have given this opportunity to share the gospel. And again, the fifth point that I would like to take with you today is that your mission gives you a life meaning. Your mission gives you a life meaning. What do I say by that? Paul said, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love. If you fail your mission, you have wasted the life God has given you. And again, on the other hand, if you just one person will be taken to heaven because of what you did, we know that according to the Bible, there will be multitudes of angels glorifying God and thanking God for what you did. So again, my friends, again, here God blesses the life dedicated to his kingdom. So there is always a secret. The secret of being blessed by God is to participate in his agenda. If you really participate in God's agenda of bringing people into the life of Jesus, you know, that's a secret. And everything will be given unto us. So fulfilling the mission you were made for will require you to abandon God. I mean, he wants us to catch up with the God's agenda and to reject the agenda that we have made for ourselves. So God invites you and me. And again, talking about the Old Testament, always David prayed, turn me away from wanting any other plan than yours, Lord. Let the plan that you give me be the plan that I will be able to do that for you. And again, your mission begins the moment you say yes to God in obedience, faith, and love. So always God is calling and me, call you and me to participate in his mission. And again, now here, why does God is doing all these things? As Christians, we all know that. Why does God want this? So God is building a family for eternity. He is building a family for eternity. He says from every tribe, from every nation, from every tongue, that people will come together and confess Jesus as the Lord. So that is the point. And people from every tribe and every nation. And that is what God is doing in his mission. Building, you know, eternal family for himself. So again, we got to remember that as a mission congregation, Jesus is not giving you and me a mission to do for him. Jesus is on a mission. And Jesus is inviting you and me to participate in his mission. So let those who do not know tell those who don't know about Jesus. Let those who know about Jesus, let us tell the people who do not know about Jesus. So mission concerns God's redeemed people. And this is not the work of the angels. As a church, we are called to participate in God's mission. So two things that you can do in heaven. Can you think of two things that you cannot do in heaven? The one thing is that you cannot sin in heaven. And the second thing is that you don't have an opportunity to tell about Jesus in heaven. Right? So while we are alive, so God is wanting to participate in this one. Jesus, to introduce, proclaim the presence of Jesus in our new community. This is our mandate. So friends, I don't want to take much of your time. I invite you to give in-depth information about this ministry that God is doing in and through my life and equipping the congregation for the outer missions. Because no congregation should scratch their head and say, hey, we do not know about these people who are in our midst, who are from different nations. We do not speak their language. We do not speak their culture. So God has brought me here in order to bridge that gap, to equip our congregation for the wider mission that he has created. You know, God wants to involve every one of us. And just to give you a gist, my friends, there are 4 million Hindus here in America today. How many I said? 4 million. And even in DFW area, we have around 300,000 plus Hindus across DFW area. And again, throughout United Nations, we have around 1,600 plus, you know, Hindu temples across the United Nations, 1,600 plus. Over in DFW area, we have around 19 of the Hindu temples. And day by day, you know, it's been popping. New temples are popping around across the nations. Again, there are 20 million American practicing yoga across the United Nations. It's not that people from India have come here to practice yoga. We're talking about our local Americans who are practicing yoga, which is nothing but the infiltration of, the Hindu philosophy into the minds and hearts of our American people. And growing number of Americans becoming Hindu priests in this temple are growing like a wildfire. And it's not only the Hindu people from India are coming and doing the Hindu worship in this temples. You'll be surprised to see that there are a lot of our white Anglo-Saxon, priests who are practicing Hinduism and who have become priests in these temples. And a growing number of churches turning down into Hindu temples. I served in Pennsylvania and New Jersey area. You know, many of our churches, when they're going down, not only the Lutheran churches, and when they're not able to run as a church, they put it on a market for sale. And these churches are being brought by Hindus, and they've been turned into our Hindu temples. That's been happening across the world, across the United States. And a Hindu priest offering prayers in the White House. And the terms like karma, reincarnation, guru, pandit, and many more are now part of American mainstream vocabularies. So I want you to just close your eyes and think about 5 to 10 years from now. If we are not reaching out to these people whom the Lord has sent us to reach to, so what will happen in 5 to 10 years from now? You know, we will see a lot of spiritual devastation right in our country, right in our midst. So we cannot think over at that time. So God has given a wonderful opportunity to participate in God's mission. So this is a twofold ministry. This Lutheran Student Center and the church we are planting, Hope for the Nation, because God has sent people from all different world. That's the reason why we have this name called Hope for the Nation. And if you come there and be part and develop your partnership with this mission work, you know, it's an amazing opportunity that you will be equipped. At the same time, you'll be equipped to reach others in this world. And we call you for participating in this God's work and support this God's ministry. And God is calling all of us together. And as a church, we are we are to create new communities. As a church, we are the world redeemed and made whole. So mission concerns God-redeemed people. It's not the job of angels. It is us. Therefore, the church has a tremendous responsibility to fulfill God's mission in the world. So may God bless these words for us, and we thank him for reminding us that we are his children, that God has called to participate in mission, and that we glorify God in participating in the task that he has given to all of us. May God bless these words. Amen.